In Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1965, Julie Andrews won the Academy Award for Best Actor in a musical. That musical was Mary Poppins. Now, since that musical was released well over 55 years ago, I don't think it'll be a spoiler alert to tell you the storyline a bit. You remember that it is centered around the Banks family, who have two unruly children. Jane and Michael have scared away every nanny that has come to care for them. They are unruly in the sense that they are disrespectful, they are manipulative, they are full of trickery, and they are downright rude. In fact, their behavior is atrocious. That is, until Mary Poppins arrives on their doorstep. This mysterious woman simply flies in from somewhere and comes to restore for a family love and hope. If you remember, Mary Poppins is no pushover. She has discipline. She has a sharp tongue. But something about her mysterious and delightfully fun, playful, adventurous, imaginative spirit draws in these children and the whole family into a new reality, and her love helps them to find love among one another. At the end, of course, Mary Poppins flies off, and the family goes off in the freedom to now fly a kite. Well, I have Mary Poppins on the brain for two reasons this morning. First, because of our wonderful soloist this morning, Jim Haas, who happened to be in the production of Mary Poppins along with me back in 2016 at the Rochester Civic Theater. That was such a joy and delight and an opportunity I will never forget. Now, I had a very small role, whereas Jim had a huge role playing Bert in the story of Mary Poppins. And might I add, his acting and singing was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Fantastic. But I also have Mary Poppins and the story of her unruly children on the mind because of our reading today from Hosea. Now, it is not a nanny and children, but it is God and God's relationship with God's unruly people, God's very own. They are behaving in a way that is disrespectful, worshiping other gods, creating other idols. They are manipulative, hoping to work some way into these gods or God's own self, some sort of internal sense of what they need or want in terms of power. And they are full of trickery, thinking they can possibly get by with this kind of behavior and not have it called out. They are downright rude. Their behavior is atrocious. This small book in the Old Testament, Hosea, is among the books that are accredited to the minor prophets. Prophets that are brought up in a time when God's kingdom is divided north and south, when, as in last week's reading with Elijah and his standoff with the prophets of Baal, there is this sense that God's people continually drift into idolatry. Whether it's Baal or any other god, it seems that God's people cannot keep their attention on the one true God. And so Hosea continues to repeat in five different cycles in this small book of 14 chapters, cycles of judgment and restoration. And throughout, Hosea continues to remind us as we hear this word today that we have a God who does judge sin, and yet we have a God who continually reaches out to draw God's people, God's children, back to God's self. Now, sometimes the Old Testament gets a bad reputation, or perhaps a misunderstanding, that the Old Testament is full of God's wrath, and the New Testament is full of grace and mercy. But in fact, the God of the Old Testament is, of course, the God of the New Testament. Sometimes we forget that this overarching story of God's love that we are moving through in this season of the narrative lectionary helps us to see the fullness of who God is from the old into the new. How that compassionate God, the God who has entered into our world through the person of Jesus Christ, is the same God of this prophet Hosea, the same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. A God who shows us the fullness of mercy, compassion, and grace. Listen again to the beautiful imagery that Hosea lifts up so that we may see in this Old Testament version of God that beautiful fullness of the mercy found in him. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. I taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. Is this image not the same as what we hear in our gospel today? This image of Jesus who invites the children to come to him. We can almost imagine Jesus scooping up those little ones in his arms, bringing them healing. This is the same God of which Hosea is calling to our attention. A God who comes to us, invites us into a place of healing. Hosea goes on to say, I led them with cords of human kindness. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and I fed them. Some have read these words from the prophet Hosea and likened them to images around motherly love. How God here is given a sense of a nurturing parent. And when have you experienced that in your own life's story? Perhaps the gift of a mother's nurturing love. Imagine for a time, when was the last time you had opportunity to scoop up a little infant and put that little infant right here in the crook of your shoulder, and maybe even set your cheek against that infant's cheek. For me, I remember fondly as a mother having that opportunity for the first time, and every time as that little one was scooped up in my arms, son or daughter, I remember the joy of meeting my niece and my nephews for the first time and scooping them up and feeling this deep connection, cheek to cheek. This is the same connection that a loving parent God, a God filled with deep bonds or bands, as it says in Hosea, of love, nurtures the relationship that is given between God the parent and God the child. Hosea goes on to say, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. Here we have a glimpse into the tender heart of God, the tender mercy of a loving father, a loving parent, whose connection is so deep and so true as to even look away, even in the face of sin, to offer forgiveness, grace, and new opportunity. It is in this place of grace that I find myself today as I hear these words of Hosea. I have been blessed in my lifetime to know that kind of gift of motherly and fatherly love, gifted by parents who have expressed to me their love from the moment I was born, have been encouraging along the way. I am proud to be the daughter of Roger and Gail Boer. That gift of love between parent and child is truly a treasure, though I fully recognize there are some who do not have that same connection. There is not always great love for a parent or great love for a child in the same way. And yet, today's reading from Hosea draws us into an image of God as a perfect parent, as one who can pour out grace upon grace. and it is in that grace again that we gather this day. This day that is a big day for Bethel and for me. Bethel has chosen, you have chosen, to call me as your next lead pastor of this congregation. And I find that calling to be both exhilarating and humbling. Because this is a marvelous congregation. This is a congregation filled with people like each of you who have amazing gifts of leadership, compassion, service to the neighbor. You give of yourselves through music and talents galore. This is a congregation with an outstanding staff, and how much I have marveled at the ways in which this staff over these past months in particular has moved in ways that we can continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is a congregation that is blessed with resources and are faithful stewards of those resources. What a joy, what an exhilarating honor to be a part of a place that takes so seriously its mission statement to proclaim the gospel, to be able to build up its ministers for outreach and service. You and me trained, built up for the ways in which we can serve God's people in this world and minister to human need. And the thing that is so remarkable about this call today, the thing that truly humbles me as I stand before you this morning, is that we have a relationship. That this call to me is a gift that you have entrusted to me, in spite of the fact that you already know me. We have history together. I am not new to you. You are not new to me. But we have a story shared over the past 12 years that have invited you and me into a relationship that has been a true gift and blessing. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this wonderful call and this new chapter we enter into together. Thank you for your prayers. And know that I pray for you. And I am grateful for the ways in which you have modeled for me what it means to live out this faith. And I pray that I will continually model for you and pray for you for ways in which you may know truly the gift you have been given in Jesus Christ. Because you see, the church at its best is a place that proclaims the tender mercy of God. That tender mercy that is poured out in a God of the prophet Hosea. That tender mercy that is poured out in God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus who invites all, whether in this sanctuary or outside of these doors, into relationship with him. And we have the great opportunity to be ones who are sent out to proclaim this good news to others. That good news that God chooses to enter into a world that is broken, a world that is filled with rebellious, unruly children like you and me, and continually draw those unruly people into grace. Into new beginnings, into forgiveness, life, and salvation. This promise is for you this day. For you are called, you are named and claimed children of God. I hope this day you find that good news to be exhilarating and humbling. And thanks be to God for the ministry we share. Amen.